Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging hour discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Kuchera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Kuchera.
Welcome in. Good afternoon. Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. Before we get started and invite my guest in, let me give you a few reminders. You could tune in, listen to us Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 Pacific Daylight Time. And you can do that a couple different ways on the radio at KDOW 1220 AM. You could also go online anytime, anywhere, I should say, anywhere at this time of the day and listen to us online. If you go to kdow.biz, just click on the button that says Listen Live. You can listen to us that way. Also, we're streaming live on Facebook, as we have been, and we're getting great response, correspondence, questions, comments. It's great. Keep those coming. Those that are following us on Facebook, thank you, especially during the live feed. It's a lot of fun to get the interaction and the questions going back and forth and answers. So appreciate that. Lastly, be sure to download the podcast, and that way you can listen to the show anytime, anywhere, at your convenience. You go to iTunes and type in Real Estate Radio Live, or you can go to our website, reradiolive.com, anytime, and download the podcast there. Lastly, we're a live show. During the show today, if you have any questions for me or my guest, you could reach out, give us a call, 1-800-516-1220, 1-800-516-1220. And, of course, you could always shoot those questions to us via Facebook as well. All right, let me invite my guest in, Mr. Neil Bawa. He is the president and COO of Financial Attunement. Good to have you with us today, Neil.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Joe. It's great to be talking with you because I really enjoyed, you know, chatting about real estate, and the information in your show is just staggering for real estate folks. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We've been going on 8 years now, and the focus, and I know you could appreciate this, Neil, because of your background, is education and information. So our objective is really to just, you know, provide the consumer as much education and information as we can via, you know, great guests like yourselves, content, information, interviews, to help them make wise decisions in and around their real estate. It's pretty simple as far as our objective goes. So that's right in line with a lot of the stuff we're going to talk today. Before we get started on our, you know, some of the stuff that we're going to discuss, Neil, maybe you could, if you can, take a minute or so and give the listening audience an idea of your background and then currently what you're up to today, roles and responsibilities.
Sure. Well, I'm a technologist, a network engineer, and, you know, I've had a successful exit with a technology education company. And while I was doing that, I was paying huge, huge, huge taxes. And my CEO suggested that the way to defer some of those taxations was to get into real estate. And so, like most people, I started with single-family homes, bought a few, and then bought as many as I could, 10, before I ran out of loans. And then I veered towards multifamily, and I truly discovered my passion. I learned that the benefits that I could get on the multifamily side far outweighed anything that I could ever get on the single-family side. The scalability, the tax benefits, the professionalism, the metrics, all really appealed to the engineer in me. And so I just kept delving deeper and deeper into it, opened a meetup group, which my goal was to get to 100 people. It's now the largest apartment meetup in the U.S. We have about 2,000 people from the Bay Area attending. And it just sort of built on itself. And we started buying apartment complexes. We now manage over 1,000 apartments in 7 states, both multifamily and student housing. Over 225 investors, mostly from the Bay Area, investing through us, benefiting from the cash flow and upside that comes from these apartments. So it's been a fascinating journey to go from being a technologist to being a real estate guy, and I've enjoyed every moment of it.
Well, congratulations. That's quite a summary, and we got a lot to dive into compared to what you. So this meetup group, this was a vision of yours. You started it with the purpose of kind of to get grouped together to kind of a brain trust to share information, and then ultimately now, did the investments from these projects then come from this group or outside of the group or primarily within that group?
Both from within the group and outside. It really started off being as an educational forum. So we do 12 presentations in Fremont every year. We do 12 presentations in San Francisco. So a wide variety of things. So how to pick property managers, how to find the right brokers, how to evaluate properties. We do fight clubs where we compare three or four different cities in the U.S. for multifamily and talk about the pros and cons of each city. So those kinds of things. I mean, it's really a very interactive process. It's, you know, very low PowerPoint, lots of discussion. And I've made lots and lots of friends in the industry and gotten great pointers on you know, investments through that meetup group. I highly recommend it to people that are interested in learning more and want to be in a interactive environment where you can listen to a whole bunch of people, but then you can, at the end of the evening, network with individuals that you want to chat more with.
Yeah, no, that's great. So that's still going. So you guys are still doing these. If someone, and we'll give that information out a little bit later as well, but just as we get the show kicked off, so if someone wants to kind of get an idea what you guys do as a group, Neil, or educate themselves and show up to some of these events, is it the best to go to your website and sign up or kind of check it out, or what's the best way for them to do that?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, and there's a link to the meetup there, and that's the best way for them to get started. And we've also archived the webinars that we had the best feedback on. So if maybe presenting in Fremont or San Francisco, we get great feedback, people really love it. Well, then we come back and we teach it as a webinar, and we archive it on our website for people to look at.
Okay, very good. And what's the website for them to go to?
It's FINAT, that's F as in Frank, I as in India, N as in Nancy, ATT.
Okay.
FINAT.com.
Very good. Let's talk a little bit about, before I get into some of these other things, one of the things interesting to me is we get, I would have to say that the majority of calls, emails, you know, inquiries we get on the show, Neil, over the years have been people that are interested in investing in real estate. And one of them, this is kind of the way the main kind of correspondence conversation goes, is they'll contact me and they'll say, Joe, I'm, you know, love listening to this show, love to follow it. I'm really interested in investing in real estate, but the numbers just don't seem to work here. And I'm not sure if here in the Bay Area is the right place to do it. So then kind of the next conversation is, you know, how do I learn, educate, find, you know, properties outside of California potentially, or at least the Bay Area? What would you, I mean, obviously you set up an incredible network source of people that you guys network with and help each other, educate each other, and really stay in tune to what's going on, keep your pulse, finger on the pulse. What recommendation would you give to someone that, you know, has some money, they're trying to invest, they don't really know much about how to go about that? What would be maybe the first, you know, the steps that they would take that you would recommend since you've been through this process yourself?
Good question. So there's a few things that I would want to point out to them, right? What's nice about the Bay Area is there's so many people here that are tech technologists. So they're data driven, they're analytical. So they actually have a little bit of a leg up on folks elsewhere, right? So the first thing that I would do is search the internet for these keywords, and you'd be amazed at what's going to come up from these keywords, right? So just Google top multifamily cities for 2018. Google top single family cities for 2018. Now, don't just click on the first link, grab that, and then, you know, be off running with your checkbook. Click on the first five links and aggregate those top lists from various different providers and look for patterns. You'll notice that Orlando is going to show up in every list in the top three. You'll notice that Phoenix is going to show up in the top five, right? And if you want to go to cities that are inexpensive, you'll notice that Columbus, Ohio is going to show up again and again and again. There are patterns in the data that are very clear, right? So that's the first thing that you want to do. You pick the right cities to invest in if you're looking to go outside the Bay Area. I understand these days that the Bay Area is very expensive and there's very little cash flow, there's a lot of options out there. We change our cities from time to time. People ask me, you know, what's your favorite city, Neil? And the answer is, well, it depends on when you ask the question, right? It changes every year.
Yeah.
For small cities, today my favorite is Provo, Utah, because it's a technology hub. And also has skiing close by and two world-class universities. That's a trifecta that's very difficult to find. So I'm always looking for places like that that are still inexpensive. I can buy a home in Provo for $250,000. 10 years from now, when Provo is the next Austin, that home's going to be worth $600,000 or $700,000. So looking for that information on the web is much easier than most people think. Here's another great string. Fastest growing state in the U.S. Always know the top five fastest growing states in the U.S. As it happens today, it's Utah, with Nevada and Arizona kind of being usually two and three. That's going to tell you that when you go into a state that's fast growing, you can make a lot of mistakes and still make profit.
Yeah,
because
good point.
You know, it's an all ships rising situation, right? And so you want those benefits and those advantages before you start dropping down to the neighborhood and the individual property level.
Yeah. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. A lot of great information. You could tell Neil has a lot of great resources, information, and education for you. If you have any questions for Neil, 1-800-516-1220. That's 1-800-516-1220. This is Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a couple minutes to continue the conversation.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
The world is changing, and so is real estate. It's changing in ways that give consumers more control with more affordable options. So what are your options? Hi, this is Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live. I've been on the air educating and informing consumers for over 7 years now. I'm excited to announce that there is now a more efficient and cost-effective way to buy and sell real estate. Our team at Real Estate Radio Live is launching a new program designed to help buyers or sellers like you in real estate, lending and title. That's right, we'll coordinate the entire transaction for you. So you benefit by working with the same team, saving time, and saving money. We'll guarantee you'll not only be working with the most qualified, hand-picked experts in real estate, lending, and title, but you will also save a significant amount of money in all three services as well. Act now and benefit from changing the world of real estate. Call 408-838-9060. Go to reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live, streaming live on iHeart, TuneIn, and KDOW.biz. For more information on today's topic or guest, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Cachera.
Welcome back in. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live. We're with you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Be sure to tune in. Download the podcast when you get a chance. That way you can follow, listen to the show any time at your convenience. Today, our guest, Neil Bahwa. He is the president and COO of Financial Attunement. Neil is sharing with us some of the things that he's done, experienced over the last several years, come out of high tech and really took an interest in multifamily and took it to another level, and now assembled it in quite a group of people and investors. And also, we're going to talk now a little bit about the housing, the economy, and the housing. Neil, what's interesting is, you know, we're certainly familiar with the Bay Area, the landlock here. You know, everybody's going different. You know, real estate it's amazing to think. You know, several decades ago, it was more about, I don't know, it was interesting, some of the big companies and the oil barons and some of this, I guess what I'm saying is now you have a lot of high tech people that have amassed fortunes, but you've also have this millions of people that have amassed fortunes and continue to do so with real estate. And you're certainly an example in some of the stuff you've accomplished, but how do you see kind of the housing? It looks like there's going to be a shortage. How do you see that in general, as we get the growth, you know, both, I guess, I don't know if you want to speak to that nationally, or is that just in the Bay Area, or talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I'm going to actually address it both from the Bay Area perspective and nationally. So okay. To answer your question, I feel a little bit sad about what I believe is about to happen, but at the same time, I see a terrific financial opportunity. So I see both, because what is going to happen over the next 7 or 8 years is we're going to see sharp increases in homelessness in the expensive cities in the U.S. So New York, mm-hmm. you know, Seattle, the San Francisco Bay Area, Los Angeles, and a dozen others, Denver, are going to see spikes where there's going to be a lot of homelessness. And the reason for that is straightforward. You know, we've got our homeownership rate has been declining since 2005. It's just a consistent decline. It paused earlier this year, and a lot of people celebrated it, but a pause is not a reason for celebration. It's been dropping 12 successive years. And we have 116 million households in the U.S., roughly 40 million of those are renter households. Here's the problem, Joe. Of those 40 million renter households, nearly 30% are paying 55% of their income just in housing costs.
Wow.
55 is a staggering number. Here's the bad news. That percentage keeps creeping up. And as that percentage starts to get around the 60% mark, you see a massive increase in homelessness. They just can't afford to stay there. And on a monthly basis, pay their bills. So they just end up out there on the street. And you're going to see that happening in one after the other in major cities. In the Bay Area, it's already happening. Like we actually talk about the word housing crisis in the Bay Area all the time. But this is not a Bay Area problem. This is happening everywhere in the U.S. And you might say, well, our home prices are 2 or 3 or 4 times higher than other places. Yes, but also our incomes are higher. So other places are not as far behind as you might think. And I think that in some of these other places, the problem is even worse. Honolulu, for example, is a very landlocked place. There's no way to develop anymore unless you change the policies, unless you change the real estate policies. And 54% of the renters are paying huge percentage of their income in rent. And so we're going to see a pandemic over the next 10 to 12 years, because we don't build enough housing for these people. And the market keeps going up because there's not enough supply on the single family side.
Well, yeah, it's when you think about that, it is, I see what you're saying. I mean, it is, the prices continue to go up in many cases, like you just mentioned. There's not a whole lot of places to build. There's this unique balance and, you know, this tightrope, if you will, with trying to, you know, conserve land and be, conscious to the economy, but to ecology and to be a good green citizen and all this stuff. But in the meantime, how do you solve the problem of growth? I mean, people are born every year. People need a place to live, and that creates a need for more resources around this housing. So, boy. Is this where you're going to start really seeing, it's almost interesting if you could kind of paint this picture. It happened in the Bay Area. I'm sure it's happening in other places as well. If you just take the heart of Silicon Valley, all of a sudden, you know, you start to see this expansion back out away from Silicon Valley, and this is the next place to go. Well, you know, now it's Oakland, now it's Union City, now it's Hayward, now it's, you know, the Central Valley.
Right.
Now it's pushing, you know, then it was Morgan Hill and Gilroy and Hollister. And so it's just, do you see this happening all over this place where we just keep getting pushed out further and further?
To some extent, but I think we're reaching the limits of that because of traffic, right? So
we've now got
engineers working at Google commuting 90 minutes every day each way, right? So there's a limit to that. And now we have to basically find more holistic situations. I see this, Joe, as a policy issue. This is very much a local and state government issue. I'm not in the camp of there's not enough land. The truth is there is enough land. And there are there's land in places where you could go vertical a lot more than you've done so far and mm-hmm. increase the density because it's close to public transit. I think that the truth is there's not enough light shining on the fact that we've got a very significant housing problem. And there's not mm-hmm. enough senators. Nancy Pelosi is not standing up there and talking about the fact that we've got a huge housing crisis. I mean, California could end up with 500,000 more people on the streets within the next 5 years if we don't do something about this. And the problem is when that happens, right, it'll kind of be late to do something about it because
yes,
from the time
right.
you change laws, it takes 5 or 6 or 7 years to build up housing
mm-hmm.
stock. And there's a lot of people in the industry screaming about this, saying you're not building any affordable housing. Since 1999, the U.S. has stopped building affordable housing. We used to consistently do 100,000 units through low-income housing programs, through HUD programs. Mm-hmm. I think, if I'm not wrong, in 2016, we built 17,000 units nationwide.
Wow.
And it's just, it's not working, and it's creating all sorts of problems. So I don't believe mm-hmm. that the issue is that there's not enough land. I think mm-hmm. the issue is that there's not enough quality legislation to support mm-hmm. affordable housing. And the lack of land is used as a way to get around the key issue, which is that people are not pushing for change in our laws, in our density.
Yeah.
And that really has to happen. And I want to give your listeners a place to start. If you really want to see this as an opportunity, because it is an enormous opportunity,
mm-hmm.
the website to go to is weareapartments.org. That's apartments with an S. Weareapartments.org. And this is
okay.
a website by the National Multifamily Council. It's a nonprofit. And mm-hmm. what they've done is they've taken the data on population growth. They've taken the data on immigration. They've taken the data on, you know, the fact that less and less people are forming households and buying mm-hmm. single families. And they've put it together in a very easy to read format. And they've done it by state and metro.
Right.
But I think looking at the data for the San Francisco Bay Area, it's absolutely remarkable. But then I want you to check out places like Honolulu. Check out Phoenix.
Well, hold on. Yeah. Hang on a second, Neil. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We're right up against a commercial. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come on back. A lot of great information. Stay tuned. 1-800-516-1220 if you have any questions. This is Joe Cachero. I'll be back with you to continue the live show in just a couple minutes.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
Hi, this is Joe Cachera of Real Estate Radio Live. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. We are your go-to resource for all aspects of real estate, including buying, selling, refinancing, building, and legal and tax advice, and much more. You can subscribe to Real Estate Radio Live podcast on iTunes and Stitcher to listen to an engaging discussion about anything and everything real estate. So make sure you get our app, RE Radio Live, in the iTunes store to follow the show.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live, streaming live on iHeart, TuneIn, and KDOW.biz. For more information on today's topic or guest, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Cachera.
Welcome back in. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live. On the phone today, we have our guest, call-in guest, Mr. Neil Bawa. He is the president and COO of Financial Attunement. Neil's been kind enough to spend some time with us, and he's not only an expert in investing and really multi-level, but he's also studies the economy, the housing market, and much, much more. So he's been able to shed a lot of light on some key issues for us, and one of them is housing for sure. Most of you don't have to look around and notice too hard what's going on here with the homeless issue, the affordability issue, and also, you know, the next thing is how do the not only affordability to rent, but you know, we're a little bit, I don't know if jaded's the right word, or maybe a little bit in this interesting area here in Silicon Valley, Neil, where, you know, my primary business is residential financing, so I help people finance all the time, but very rarely now do you see these kind of traditional first-time home buyers where they're scraping to put money together and 5% down and FHA. And what you see is a lot, you know, some of these people that are first-time home buyers, you know, buying $800, $900, $1 million for the first time they're buying. I guess that works well if you're in high tech and you've done well at a fairly early age. But what is that? You know, what is this overall? I mean, this is a unique area, I know, so it's hard to compare to others. But how do you see, you know, the other areas, states, and economies? Are they, you know, are they in the same kind of housing crisis other than the shortage we've talked about? How do you see different markets like that?
It varies a great deal, right? It varies because some of them they're not as landlocked or sea locked as the Bay Area is. But even in those areas, because there's not enough policy work going on, there's shortages. Let me give you an example, right? You think of Phoenix and you think lots and lots of land in all four directions, right? No hills at all. It's just flat land. And Phoenix has a shortage. In fact, Phoenix is currently beating the San Francisco Bay Area in terms of annual rent increases. So there are about 4.5% rent increase for 2017 so far, where the Bay Area is a little bit lower than that. And so that there's challenges that other cities are facing too, and it really is an opportunity. And the reason for that is a lot of these states have huge inward migration, and they're just not building enough housing stock, whether that's, you know, single family or multifamily. The problem is really not multifamily. The problem is we first need to start building more single family homes, because otherwise people are just getting pushed into multifamily that don't want to be there. They want to buy single family homes, but that's not a solution. I mean, not everyone can afford to buy a $900,000 home in the San Francisco Bay Area. So a lot of growth in multifamily is happening because of these crazy affordability problems that we've started to see, especially in the last 4 or 5 years. So there's definitely a lot of markets outside the Bay Area that are beginning to experience similar problems, because the cities were never really designed to be this size. And as a result, it's not easy to just scale up simply because they have more land.
Yeah. Where do you, as an investor, so to speak, you had mentioned how to do some searches online and get some basic information. Do you have some information you could share with our listeners today if they were looking outside of the United States, or in the United States, sorry, looking outside of California to invest? You had mentioned some cities. Which ones might you recommend, or for them to consider, at least look at?
So some of my favorites, if you want to go to look at the Midwest, if you're looking to buy really incredibly cheap land and you want, you know, high cash flow, Columbus, Ohio. So, but please don't go anywhere else in Ohio. Cleveland, Ohio is not a good place to go to. Denton, these are cities that are losing population to Columbus. But Columbus has gained 17% in population over the last 15 years, primarily because it has a lot of jobs, healthcare jobs as well as technology jobs. So it's a great place to invest in if you're looking at on the lower end. There's going to be less appreciation in Columbus. There's going to be more cash flow. If you're looking for a combination of appreciation and cash flow and you don't mind the long flight out, there's really nothing like Orlando. So as of November 2017, Axiometrics ranks Orlando number one in the U.S. for rent growth. And it took that crown from Sacramento, which held it for about 2 years. So that's a great market to go into. And just behind Orlando, a market that's actually fairly close to us, is Reno, Nevada. So because of California's onerous taxation, more and more companies want to be close to California but not in California, and Reno is really benefiting from that. I don't think that's a short-term trend. I think that's a long-term trend. So, if you can get into Reno, fantastic. It's very, very hard to find cash-flowing properties in Reno. But for those of you that want to be very close to home, that's an excellent pick. I personally like Phoenix. I mentioned Provo, Utah. Those are great. Phoenix has more cash flow than Salt Lake City or Provo would. Those are terrific markets to go after. Boise, Idaho is an excellent sleeper market. This is a market where homes are still inexpensive. You've still got cash flow, but the market is doing better each year. Idaho is benefiting from this halo effect of Western states. So it's very close to Washington, which is going completely insane on the real estate side. yeah, Arizona's right. doing well. Nevada's doing well. So the Boise is part of that all ships rising effect.
Interesting. And where would be, I mean, you mentioned some, just stay Columbus, Ohio only in Ohio, but where would be, because you hear people talk about, the Carolinas and even Detroit now and different places like that. Are there places that you would, kind of throw the red flag up and say, yeah, I would just be careful and cautious of these states or these areas?
Absolutely. So there's a few that are doing fairly well now that I still caution people on. But my number one choice is Detroit. So here's the city that was, almost 1.5 million people 50, 60 years ago. And just because the city stopped losing population for 2 or 3 years is not a turnaround. If you look at the history of Detroit's population loss, it's turned around 3, 4, 5 times in the last 60 years. But none of those turnarounds lasted more than 2 or 3 years. So I caution people to be careful about this new renaissance that we are hearing about in Detroit. They seem to do that every decade, and almost always.
A lot of false starts.
So that's a city to be careful about.
Okay. Very good.
And then I'll give you another one, Memphis. So Memphis is a city with very high crime. And what typically tends to happen is turnkey providers in Memphis will offer these packages to Californian investors. And inevitably, they tend to be in the highest crime portions of the city. So if you are going to invest in Memphis and you think that it's a good deal, focus on looking at websites on the internet that look at block-by-block crime and make sure that you're not in an area that's deep red on a crime website like crimespot.com. So it's very, very important to be careful about some of these Midwest states, Rust Belt states, that have very high crime rates.
Okay. We have 3 or 4 minutes left in this segment. So one of the things I wanted to have you share a little bit, Neil, is you shared with me was, and I did a show kind of on investment strategies, just it might have been earlier this week, I'm not sure, and just the different type of real estate investment, because most people, I think, once, in my opinion, they think about the single family, and then they think about the duplex and the fourplex and the triplex. But that's where kind of, I think most of it kind of stops, and then it's either intimidating or maybe people don't, they don't educate themselves. But talk about the different opportunities that exist in real estate. What I mean by that is, some of the student housing developments, some of the unique things that you guys have done, redevelopment stuff, kind of, if you could just, share and educate with the listenership in terms of, maybe opening some eyes that so, gee, I didn't know that type of thing existed. And actually, we have about 2 minutes. We could continue on the other side, too.
Sure. Let me start off, actually, with student housing. One of our success stories is this property, an aging property that we bought in Vegas. It's near the Flamingo Hotel. And really nice 1,000-square-foot two-bedroom units. But the property was not doing well from a rental perspective. $850 in rent, barely scraping by on 90% occupancy. And we took that property and we really freshened it up, put in furniture, and now we've got 2 students that are living in that 1,000 square foot unit. We put locks on the bedroom doors and we took the big bathroom and split it down the middle. So it's got 2 small showers, right, that open directly into their bedrooms.
Yep.
So they've got their own bedroom, they've got their own bathroom, but then they've got the living space that's shared with a very modern feel and accent walls. And guess what? That one unit, instead of being $850 in rent, is now $675 in rent multiplied by 2. You're going up from $850 to $1,350. The value creation when you go up $500 in rent on a per unit basis is absolutely staggering, right?
Wow.
We talk
our
business, we talk about doubling people's money when you raise rents by $125 to $150. And this is an example where we can raise rents by $500 per year.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, we're going to take our last break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to finish up. Unfortunately, it's going too fast because there's a lot of valuable information Neil is offering. If you have any questions, there are two texts here that I'll read to Neil when I get back. 1-800-516-1220. If you have any questions, call in, and I'll read these texts when I come back on the other side. This is Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live. We'll be back with you to finish up in just a couple minutes.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
The world is changing, and so is real estate. It's changing in ways that give consumers more control with more affordable options. So what are your options? Hi, this is Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live. I've been on the air educating and informing consumers for over 7 years now. I'm excited to announce that there is now a more efficient and cost-effective way to buy and sell real estate. Our team at Real Estate Radio Live is launching a new program designed to help buyers or sellers like you in real estate, lending and title. That's right, we'll coordinate the entire transaction for you. So you benefit by working with the same team, saving time and saving money. We'll guarantee you'll not only be working with the most qualified, hand-picked experts in real estate, lending and title, but you will also save a significant amount of money in all three services as well. Act now and benefit from changing the world of real estate. Call 408-838-9060. Go to reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live, streaming live on iHeart, TuneIn, and KDOW.biz. For more information on today's topic or guest, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Cachera.
Welcome back in. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Joe Cachera with Real Estate Radio Live. Just winding things down here, about 6 or 7 minutes left in the show. We've been joined by Neil Bahwa. He's the president and COO of Financial Attunement. Been kind enough to spend some time with us and really educate us, shed some light on some of the things that are going on in the housing market, the economy, and much, much more. Before we duck out, there's a couple of texts here, questions for you, Neil, I'll read.
Sure.
One is from George in San Mateo, and his question is, let me just summarize it. Basically, he says he enjoys the information you're providing today on the show, and how would I find out more information about what you do and how you got started. I think he may have missed the first part of the show. I know you mentioned that. So if you could give out information again, if someone wanted to know more about your website or your group, if you have a website you want to give out and a phone number.
Sure. So the website is www.finatt.com. That's F as in Frank, I as in India, M as in Nancy, mm-hmm. A as in Apple, T as in Tom, T as in Tom.com. The phone number is 510-367-1510. There's a wealth of information on our website. There's webinars. Okay. There's pointers to our meetup groups, which meet every month. Also, I'm going to give you another tip since you enjoyed the content. You know, I've been talking today about a lot of data. Well, I've aggregated mm-hmm. the data together. It's also available on our website. You have to go to Toolkit. Toolkit, toolkit.finat.com. You will see dozens of reports, videos, and other information. There's reports from Marcus and Millichap that cover every city in the U.S., every major city in wow. the U.S., and how that city is doing from the perspective of rents, from the perspective of job growth, and from the perspective of sales. So check out the toolkit.finat.com, no www before that. And you'll get a tremendous amount of information. And if you have any questions about that data or if you want newer versions of that data, feel free to email me. My email is Neil, N-E-A-L, at finat.com.
Very good. And the other text I had here is from Linda in Las Gatas. Her question for you, Neil, is, we've been hearing a lot about the millennials and the new generation and, how it affects the housing market and sector, et cetera. Do you have, the question is, it looks like, is what is your kind of overall observation and take on, as we kind of move through and out the baby boomers seem to be coming out of out of favor, and now all you hear about is millennials. Do you have kind of an overview on that market and how they might shape, you know, with their housing needs?
Absolutely. Well, Linda, I think that the millennials are going to have a stronger impact on real estate than Generation X or baby boomers ever did. And
wow.
I think the primary reason for that, they're going to have a huge impact. And it's two-pronged. One is their student debt is colossal. We're over $1 trillion. Mm. We're going up $100 billion every couple of years. And that means that they're doing household formations a lot later, 3 to 5 years later. They're getting married less often. Also, they've been through this brutal, you know, experience of watching what happened to their parents and their home equity in 2008. And I think that they're psychologically scarred. They seem to be more afraid of buying homes and less convinced that home buying is a good investment than their parents did. And that has had a huge impact. We have never, ever had people in that age group buy as few homes as we're doing now. And this is data that goes all the way back to World War II. So, again, it obviously has a positive effect on what I do. Apartments, millennials love living in apartments. It's not necessarily good news for our country, though.
Yeah, yeah. And one last one before we duck out. Looks like Steve from Saratoga, I think. The question is on interest rates. So I cover this on a fairly regular basis. The question is, how do you think, you know, overall, let's say the interest rates go up, you know, a half, quarter, 3/4, 1% this time next year. How much of an impact do you think that'll have on the housing market?
I'm in the camp that believes that it won't have a massive impact, regardless of whether that's in the San Francisco Bay Area or in other places. Home buying in the end is a want. People desire to buy homes. And people have bought homes in the 80s when interest rates were at 18%, right?
That's right.
And I think that they're low, and if they go up 1%, they're still low.
Yeah.
And just like ultra low interest rates for the last 8 years haven't led to, you know, us buying more homes than we did in the past. In the same way, having, you know, slightly higher rates, I don't think lead to us buying less homes. The Bay Area has a slight affordability problem more so than other places. So an interest rate hike of 0.5%, I don't think affects the Bay Area a great deal. By the time we get to 1%, which should happen in 2019, you're going to start seeing the Bay Area market cooling. But is it going to cause a crash? Is it going to cause a Bay Area recession? No, there's not enough supply in the market, either in the local market here or in the U.S. market, for there to be a crash simply because interest rates went up a little bit.
Okay. We have less than a minute. Real quick, in 15, 20 seconds, what do you see in 2018 for the housing market overall?
I see some stress for the Bay Area market as the market digests that the mortgage deduction partially going away, and obviously the Bay Area is the market that's the most affected. The market will kind of have fits and starts because they'll try to figure out how big a deal it is. Personally, I don't think it's a very big deal. So that's going to affect the local market quite a bit.
All right. Hey, Neil, thanks a lot. We're going to have you back. Great, great show, great information. This is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thanks to Neil Bauhofer for sharing the day with us on the show. We'll be back with you. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you next week. Take care.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Tune in, log in, download our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com. reradiolive.com.